Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. Former President Donald Trump may have been acquitted in his Senate impeachment trial, but as NPR's Kerry Johnson reports, his legal troubles are far from over.
Trump faces legal jeopardy in several ongoing investigations. The district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, is looking at possible interference in the 2020 election there, including Trump's demand that the Georgia Secretary of State find enough votes for Trump to win. In Manhattan, the district attorney has been investigating Trump's business interests and his family members for possible evidence of tax, insurance, and mortgage fraud. And in Washington, D.C., local prosecutors are looking at Trump's role in the riot at the Capitol and his inaugural committee. Trump also faces a civil lawsuit from E. Jean Carroll. She's a writer who says Trump raped her in the 1990s and defamed her after she came forward. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
Consequences for Republican Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler are unfolding after she broke party ranks by submitting evidence for the prosecution in former President Trump's impeachment trial. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Troy Brunelson has more.
Washington State's primary system advances the top two candidates, regardless of party, so Herrera Butler could really be facing challengers from all sides. Your usual Democrats, and the Trump supporters who want to see her out of office.
I expect there'll be at least one or two candidates who are very, very much supporters of the Trump line of thought and really are fighting to get her just pushed out of office.
Political science professor Mark Stefan of Vancouver, Washington, thinks it's more likely Herrera Butler picks up more centrists and Democrats than the Trump supporters she loses. For NPR News, I'm Troy Brennelson.
China is lashing out at the U.S. after National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan voiced concerns about Beijing's level of cooperation with the World Health Organization investigation into the origins of the pandemic in China. NPR's John Ruwich has more.
A WHO team of investigators spent nearly a month in China tracing the origins of the pandemic. The trip ended last week. Several news reports citing members of the WHO team say China was not fully transparent and refused to hand over raw patient data from early cases. In a statement, Sullivan said the Biden administration had deep concerns around the WHO's early findings, as well as questions about the process used to reach those findings. British Foreign Minister Dominic Raab told the BBC he shared concerns about the WHO's access in China. China's embassy in Washington blasted the U.S. for leaving the WHO and then pointing fingers at WHO members who have been, quote, faithfully supporting the body. Beijing said the U.S. should invite the WHO to investigate the origins of the pandemic here. John Ruwich, NPR News.
Asian markets are trading higher at this hour. The Nikkei in Japan up more than 1%. You're listening to NPR News. Royal Caribbean, the second largest cruise line, says crew members will be required to get COVID-19 vaccinations before returning to work. NPR's Greg Allen reports cruise lines currently are still banned from U.S. ports.
In an email to crew members, Royal Caribbean says it's still working out details, but that all employees will have to receive a COVID-19 vaccination before boarding. The company hasn't said yet whether it will require passengers also to be vaccinated. Royal Caribbean is the first major cruise line to make that announcement. Two smaller lines, American Queen Steamboat Company and Victory Cruise Lines, said recently all passengers and crew will have to be vaccinated before being allowed on their ships. Currently, all sailings from U.S. ports are suspended. The CDC says cruises can resume only after companies have built labs on their ships to test passengers and comply with health and safety protocols that include conducting mock voyages. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
It's been 3 years since a gunman opened fire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, killing 17 students and staff. This morning, a wreath-laying ceremony was held. Tony Montalto, whose 14-year-old daughter was among the victims, was there. He says it's a very difficult day.
Each day, our family is it's not whole. And my wife and my son and myself are reminded of that, of a huge missing part of our lives.
Flags are flying at half-staff across the state to remember the Parkland shooting victims. Meanwhile, President Biden today called on Congress to enact what he calls common-sense gun law reforms, which include widespread background checks and a ban on assault weapons. This is NPR.